podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Ritchie. Maybe on Walker. Pugh!
That'll do it! That will do it! Pugh for Bournemouth! The roof at the Gold Sands is raised! Everyone here knows what that could mean to this football club.
Hello and welcome to episode 145 of Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast. My name's Sam Davis. Hope you're doing well. This is the second pod of 2022 and we thought we might be touching on our clash against Peterborough at Dean Court. Under the lights, our first EFL match of the season, only for Cherries to announce that there's been a COVID outbreak within the camp. One or more players has contracted COVID-19, which meant that the game was postponed and will be replayed later in the year. That then meant that our first competitive match of 2022 was to be in the FA Cup against Yeovil. Thankfully, there was no cup set, thanks to Emi Marcondes' magic. It was a hat-trick at Huish Park as the Cherries ended up overturning the Glovers 3-1, booking a place in round four where we've drawn Boreham Wood at home. It's been selected as a TV game on ITV4, so it's on Sunday night at 6:30 in the first weekend of February. 6:30pm Sunday night kickoff. I think I've seen it all. If you want to see it all in terms of the reaction of that 3-1 win in the FA Cup against Yeovil, then head to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/AFCB podcast, where myself and Tom Jordan are in the arrow after the game giving our instant reaction. Plus, the match day vlog takes you through everything you need to see about visiting grounds like that. Absolutely superb. Really enjoyed it. Before today's show, we're sadly saying goodbye to a Cherries hero. And on the YouTube channel, we wanted to provide an impromptu reaction. If you haven't seen it already, I need to point you towards a video where we say goodbye, as we do to all our Cherries stars, and say thank you to a hero, Steve Cook, a club legend. He signed for us from Brighton on a permanent. It was over 10 years ago now. Ever since then, he provided us with a wealth of fantastic memories that will never be forgotten. And in the video that myself and Morgan do, we go over 10 of the memories that instantly come to mind when thinking of Cookie. He's gone to Nottingham Forest on a 2.5-year deal where we wish him all the very best. Also on the YouTube channel, we give the lowdown on two transfer incomings as well. Firstly, Cherries have agreed a deal with Manchester United to take Ethan Laird on loan for the remainder of the season after he was at the Swans for the first part of the 21-22 campaign. But also, we closed in and then confirmed a £1 million deal for Fleetwood Town's highly rated centre-back James Hill, beating a number of Premier League teams for the signature of the teenager as well. The reaction for that can be seen on our YouTube channel. So we've got our first fixture coming up next week against Luton Town. And whilst we have a pod dedicated to that, this one is all about rating the players for the first part of this season, because AFC Bournemouth now are more than halfway through the season. And it's time to do our analysis on the Boscombe players who impressed, but also those that digressed in our regular player gradings tier list. Myself and Tom Jordan, we were at the Pair at Parley, where we placed all players who have had a significant amount of minutes on the pitch into one of six categories. Myself and Tom will talk you through it. Hope you enjoy this. If you want to watch the video of it, you know where to go. But for now, enjoy. Hello
Hello, Tom. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right. Not too bad, mate. Not too bad.
We're at the Pear at Parley, and here we are in the beautiful garden here. It's absolutely huge, isn't it, mate?
Oh, it's lovely, mate. It's one of my, obviously relatively local to me, and it's one of my favourite pubs for when the sun's out. Have a few beers. Really nice out here. And yeah, they've got some nice little huts and that over there now. Yeah, could do a lot here. So I've been to a Halloween ball here as
have
well.
You?
Yeah, they do all sorts here, mate. So yeah, I do like it. One of my favourite pubs.
So we're here 2 days before AFC Bournemouth's league campaign continues for 2022. Of course, the Peterborough match was postponed, but we've got Luton Town away on Saturday. So we thought we'd use this opportunity to do a tier list of the season so far. We're just over halfway through. We've played 25 games, but we've not had a bad start to the season, have we? We're top of the league, and there have been many players that have done so well, some maybe not so well. And myself and Tom, we're going to go through a tier list. And Tom, we've got a few categories. We've got six, as you can see on screen. And Tom, what's the top one?
The absolute Don, which I know everyone's thinking, oh, we know what's going to happen there. Well, I might surprise you. Who knows? The absolute Don at the top. So we might get a couple in there. I haven't thought about it too much. I'm just going to see what my gut says. Then we've got Baller, which obviously another player that's doing really well. Maybe not quite top notch, but been really impressive. Solid shift, probably what we expected of them. And, you know, going about things nicely, doing their job. Then we've got room for improvement. So this might be someone that maybe has kind of higher expectations with a fan base. Maybe not quite hit them yet, but not doing bad. Come on, really? I'm hoping there won't be too many there, but ones that may be disappointing a little bit. And then hard to judge, because obviously there's going to be players that have made appearances, but maybe not enough to be fair to give them an honest kind of opinion on it.
So if you look at the league table, we've played 25. So that means, Tom, we got 21 games to go.
We got 21 games to go. That's a banger,
if you want to let me know what they do.
Is it? So solid.
So solid crew.
Yeah, they're great there.
And what we're going to do, because we're counting down, we've got 21 games to go, we're going to do it the opposite of what we did it last time round. We're going to go reverse alphabetical order. So we're going to start with Zed. And there's only one Zed that I know, mate. And that's Zeno Ibsen Rossi. Someone that not many people at the start of the season had actually heard of him.
Yeah, I know. I vaguely remember I didn't know he was still here kind of thing. And he was out of Kilmarnock when he did okay. But yeah, he kind of come out of nowhere. Scott Parker obviously decided to give him an opportunity. And, if we were to end up achieving our goals, we'll look back to the start of the season where we were down to the bare bones, so to speak, and Zeno Ibsen Rossi never put a foot wrong. Yeah. I would say, if you're going to be really harsh, maybe the game when he come on against Coventry, he was a bit shaky. But apart from that, I think he's been pretty good. And I was chatting with my old man the other day about it when he played against Yeovil. Mm. He said he was. You wouldn't know he's like a young player. He wins headers. He does everything really well. It's just whether we're looking at him and thinking, does he need another season out somewhere and playing every week, just develop that a little bit further, or is he ready? I really like him, mate. I really do like him.
As you can see, the stats at on the bottom of your screen say 2% goal participation, and that goal was the Birmingham one, wasn't it? That was setting up Jaden Anthony. So he actually went across and chatted to Junior Stanislas, and he fired it over to the back post, and then Jaden Anthony was there. He's made 4 appearances in the league, but in terms of the tier list, mate, where are you going to put young Zeno?
It's weird, isn't it? Because he hasn't played many games, but then he's played more than we thought because, you know, we didn't really know. So I think he deserves to go in solid shift. Yeah. I think he could even be, you know, higher if he kept up that form, but we don't know. That's one of the things we'll never know. But when he played, every game he started in the league, I thought he was brilliant. I thought he really put a shift in. So I'm pleased with him and I'm quite intrigued. See, I'll also say I watched him in the under-23s and he looked like a player that was too good.
Yeah.
And that's testament to him. So yeah, like him, and I'm really intrigued to see where his future goes.
Yeah, I agree with that. Put him in solid shift. Now, next we got Ryan Christie, and you can see that he's got 18% goal participation. So we're talking assists or scoring. And look, he took a long time to score, didn't he? And he had so many chances, but fluffed his lines. But thankfully, he got on the score sheet, and hopefully he'll take that form into 2022.
Yeah, I think if he had racked up some more goals, you know, and scored some of them chances that he probably should have, or just nicked a few more, then he's going right at the top, because I think he's been so influential on so many games. Like you say, maybe goals, contributions to things like that could be a little bit higher, and he'll probably be looking to do that for the remainder of the season. But in terms of how he's impacted us, and obviously we know what happened with Brooksy, and we really needed him on that right side, and I think Christie, I look at him, I think he's Premier League quality, actually, and his off-the-ball work is tremendous as well.
He's been in the starting 11 95% of the time, so which tells its own story. But also, there's two positions where he's been played. It's fair to say, in my opinion, on the right-hand sides, where he sort of bears his fruit much better in that sort of central position. Not as keen.
Yeah, he's that's very similar to Brooksy as well, that they play off the right and then we've given him opportunities in that kind of 10 role. And I just think they're too influential, and the way we play, sometimes they go missing a little bit in that role, and you kind of don't get the best out of them because they're doing all the hard graft. You think, I want him running at a fullback and coming inside and making it difficult. And yeah, but he is an option there, and he can still put a shift in there. But I like him off that right. And yeah, it's a shame really that Smithy hadn't been fixed. I think them two could have had a nice little combination there. But yeah, I really like Christian. I'm delighted we could do this now that he's got a goal under his belt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because otherwise that might have made it difficult to put him as high.
Go on. So where are you putting him?
Baller.
Baller, yeah. Agree with that. Let's put him in. Baller. Ryan Christie is in there. Right then. Robbie Brady. When he first played for us, he was playing out of position. He's made three appearances in the Championship. And I don't know, is he a player that you can gauge at this stage or not seen enough? I don't know. He has had a few appearances.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult. I'm pretty sure, off the top of my head, the left-back one was the only one he started, wasn't it? And then he's come on in games. He's not a left-back, but he's done that job before. He filled in that game. Sadly for him, it wasn't a great game. But
which one was that?
Was it Blackburn?
Blackburn, yeah. I want to say yeah. Blackburn as well. We lost it, I know that.
Yeah, difficult game for him to come into at left-back. And I think you've got to realise as well, we signed him when he wasn't at a club, so fitness level, stuff like that, when you haven't had a proper pre-season, must be hard. You saw that even against Yeovil, he didn't feel like he could probably start him. I actually thought, speaking to some Yeovil fans as well, I know Sheridan that we had on said that she was really impressed when he come on. Like, he just looks quite clever when he came off that right. And I wonder if that might be a position in games where, you know, whether we move Christie in or Christie comes off in certain games, he can kind of manoeuvre it onto the left. I remember the, was it the Middlesbrough game
he came on? Yeah, he had that run that it like nearly set us up. Yeah, scoring towards the end.
Jamal Lowe, yeah. And he just looked like he's, oh, actually, he can maybe impact a game. So interesting. But I don't, so yeah, I don't think it's fair just yet. So I'm going to go hard to judge.
Hard to judge.
Hard to judge. We
that nearly went flying.
On the blooper reel. I'm not letting you edit that out either.
Yeah, I won't.
But yeah, I think he's one that he could, by the end of the season, he could be room for improvement, but he could easily be solid shift as well. So I think that's one that we'll have to come back to. But yeah, not quite fair yet. He's only started the one game.
Right, hard to judge. Right, someone who's probably not hard to judge, I think, is Philip Billing. And if ever there was a player that has changed his fortunes in the space of a few seasons, Philip Billing is that man. If you listen to any of our podcasts, watch any free-for-alls during lockdown, looked on the forums, looked on Twitter, looked on Facebook, he was almost public enemy number one, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I feel...
But he's changed that.
Yeah, oh no, he has. And I think, we'll always go back to him, I think Jonathan Woodgate deserves some big credit because
he does, yeah.
He used him in a, you know, Eddie and Jason played in deeper than I felt was necessary. Maybe because of his stature, I think. I remember we were speaking to Mark, actually.
Thought he could add a bit of height at the back, maybe, or something.
And I think that Woody just kind of put him in a bit more of a free role, didn't he? Which really suited him, and we've gone on from that. And I think a big thing as well, Scott Parker's come in with a clean slate, and he always wants to play him. You can see that every time. Barely ever comes off. He always starts him, and especially at the start of the season when we're on a good run, his goal contributions, you know, goals were... He's probably the next one to... You have Domzot scoring, you're relying on Billy.
Yeah.
And... mate, the way he's changed his fortune now, he's a real crucial player to us. I think he's probably dampened it a little bit of late. I don't think, since he had a little knock, he hasn't quite been on it the last few. And obviously with Emmy doing what he did against Yeovil, he's probably got a little bit of, careful.
There was one game recently where out of the blue he didn't start, and I would have never had that feeling previously, but I was really concerned.
Yeah, that says a lot, doesn't it? Because I think, like you say, previously we wouldn't have been as...
It was like a knee injury or something.
Yeah, we wouldn't have been as nonplussed, like you say, but... Yeah, no, I do like Billy, and I think because of the way he kind of roams around sometimes, you often look at him and think, oh, is he putting a shift in? But actually, if you actually look at all the horrible little stats and that, he nicks the ball back a lot of his legs, and he really glides through a pitch, and I think he's someone that other teams look at and think, we've got to stop him. So I really like Billy, and I think I'm going to go Baller.
Baller, yeah, absolutely. Let's put him in Baller. And look, as you saw at the bottom of the screen as well, he's been in the starting 11 88% of the time, and he's played 87% of minutes, which tells its own story, and been involved in just less than 30% of all goals as well. He picks up a number of yellow cards, though. He's on 8.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? Like I say, sometimes he clips people, and when they're trying to break away, I wonder if it's one of them things he's trying to stop that kind of transition, and sometimes they're clever little fouls, niggly little fouls. And I think he has he had a suspension, or has he just missed it?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but he was close, definitely. Or he might have missed one, I can't remember. But yeah, he does pick up the odd yellow, but I like what Billy offers us, and it'll be funny if he keeps adding goals and that, he could be very close to absolute Don, because I think there will be a certain people that would say he's in the top kind of three for the season. So yeah, pleased with him.
Right, there are a few players that we may zip through. This could be one of them. Orion Nyland, our goalie that's only played one game, but 100% record, mate. Clean sheet. Can't see further than that. Was that Holloway?
Yeah, Holloway. He just randomly come in, did he? Travers was out and coming in goal. He wasn't overly tested, but he was fine in that game.
He's the cup goalkeeper, isn't he?
Well, I mean, I hope not, because, I mean, sadly, I was...
Oh, yeah, Norwich.
Yeah, sadly, I was at Norwich, and I felt for him a little bit. They weren't all his fault. He wasn't brilliant, but it was one of them games.
One was his fault, wasn't it? And also...
Yeovil.
Yeah.
At Yeovil, I thought, but that's a game where you catch... And obviously, the goal is his fault. He looks like a goalkeeper that has always just been a goalkeeper, and now he's been turned...
He's been told to play
out from the back, and it's like, can't teach an old dog new tricks kind of feel to it. He doesn't look comfortable doing it, obviously saw with a goal. And there were balls in the box. I think there was one at the end where Brennan Camp stopped it. He's coming out. He doesn't look commanding. And the thing is, I think we're going off the expectation, but when he was brought in, obviously Travers' form has changed that as well. Credit to Travs. But when he was brought in, I thought he's going to compete for number one. Mm. He is so far off number one, it's unbelievable. Yeah, yeah. And I don't expect him to be here. I mean... He might make the summer. I mean, I wouldn't even be surprised if he goes in the next few weeks, to be honest, if we get someone. Put it this way, if you said Travers out, would you be bothered if it was Dennis or Nyland? Mm. Probably not. So, yeah, it is hard to judge, but equally, I think because he was coming in and told to compete for number one, then it's got to be, come on, really.
Come on, really?
Got to be.
Yeah, we probably...
He's not competing.
And we'd probably expect a little bit more quality on the ball. It's hard, it's a hard job, but you know, that's where we're at. So that's Orion Nyland. He's the first person to go in there. Next then, another player that I think whenever he's come on has struggled, and that's Morgan Rogers on loan from Manchester City at the moment. And you know what, mate? This is a really hard one to do, because obviously the lad's got so much expectation, and he's really struggling when he comes on. I mean, for instance, I've rarely seen him pass to another red and black shirt.
I know, and I've tried to look at it and kind of be like, he's come on late in games, and he's probably being told, go and make an impact. And so he's coming on, and he's not doing the basics, but he's trying to beat everyone, because he's thinking, I've got to try and do something here in 10 minutes. So I appreciate that, and I put that into consideration. And the Norwich game, he had only just signed. But I watched that Yeovil game and thought, right, here you go then, you're starting, you're not being told to come on and make something happen, you're starting against National League opposition, go and show us what you're about. And he was, I mean, most of their players were better than him, in my opinion. He looks like he's, I mean, people say he's got pace, I haven't really seen a lot of it, because he doesn't get past his man. He's off the ball, runs are okay, but then when they find him, it's almost like, it feels like a player that's going, I need to impress, he's trying too hard, but he cannot be a bad footballer if he's been at the Man City Academy. And he done well, I think it was at Lincoln. But unfortunately, some players fit a certain club and it ain't working. I'll be surprised if he's even here to the summer. He wouldn't even get on the bench now if everyone's fit, would he? Nowhere near it. I really feel for the lad, because he's only a young lad, and hopefully it works from somewhere else. It ain't going to work here. Come on, really.
Yeah, all right. We're putting him in come on, really, as well. Right then, Mark Travers. And this is a interesting one. Well, it's not interesting. I think I know where we will probably put this guy. I mean, he'll certainly be near the top, put it that way. He's a keeper that most people at the start of the season thought, he needs experience, let's put him out on loan. And he got thrown into the mix, and he's impressed ever since. And you can't really think of many things he's done wrong, really, this season, can you?
No, definitely not. And I was certainly one to hold my hands up and say that at the start of the season, I thought, number two at best, but I'd probably rather him go out on loan and play. But there's no way we can rely on him as number one. It was my opinion. And
because weren't we linked with like Woodman or
The interesting thing is, I think wasn't it two Newcastle goalkeepers got COVID, which meant they couldn't allow Woodman to go out. Otherwise, we'd have had Woodman, we never would have seen Travers, probably.
No, exactly, yeah.
But I'll tell you what, talk about taking your chance. That Middlesbrough game that we ended up losing, he was unbelievable.
Yeah, that could have been four or five. It really could have.
Unbelievable. I think his distribution's got better. The thing I was always wary about, which I still am a little bit, was commanding from the air. I think he's got better at that. I think he's almost growing in stature. He'll be the Ireland number one soon.
Surely,
no doubt
at some
about
point,
that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so impressed with him. He's the player that's proved me wrong the most, because I am more than happy with him, number one. If he got injured, I'd be absolutely crapping it.
Yeah.
He's been sensitive. I didn't expect it from him, so really, really impressed. And you know what? I'm like you said, I'm thinking... Yeah. Obviously, there's games where he hasn't been as good as other games, but I can't remember a goal when thinking definitely an error from the goalkeeper. No, there might be some you think he might have got to, but not errors.
No.
I'm putting him absolute Don.
Yeah, absolute Don. There's our first one there. Travs, well done, mate.
There weren't many that was thinking he should be number one, so I think he deserves... We would have put Begovic there last season, and I don't think there's a lot... I think Travis has been absolutely brilliant, and you've got to remember, Begovic is probably one of our best players last season.
Yeah.
And he's come in, all the expectations, in goal as well, as a young goalkeeper. He stood up, mate. He stood up, and I'm chuffed for him.
Next, we've got Lloyd Kelly, our left-sided centre-back, and it's fair to say that... His partnership with Gary Cahill has completely flourished, but lots of others are now learning from Lloyd Kelly, and you sort of look at it when he's not there and you feel like he's a big miss. He's leggy, he's fast, you know, Cahill mops most up. If he doesn't, you know that Lloyd's pace can get him out of jail. It's a really good partnership, and he's a crucial part of that. And you know, what a player he's turning into, and what a shrewd signing. We can now look back and think, actually, this guy's a superb acquisition for us.
I think when he came in, he had a lot of hype, a lot of potential, and he got a bad injury. It's really affected him. And then he's been used kind of last season as kind of, do a job for us at left back, will you? And it must be difficult for him because he's never had a consistent run. And the fact that Scott Parker put the armband on him at a young age and said, you know, you're going to be the leader of a group that are trying to get to the Premier League, trying to win the league, shows a lot about what he must be like behind the scenes as well. I think he comes across as a real calm head. And I love that, don't get me wrong, sometimes he frustrates me with some of his passes out from the back.
His distribution's a bit shaky.
A little bit too calm sometimes, I think. Blimey. But he seems to always recover because of his pace. When you've got a Gary Cahill, the only thing Gary Cahill's not going to have is pace.
Yeah.
So you have Kelly alongside him, it's a perfect combination.
But equally, I would say that Lloyd Kelly sometimes has pinged these like 40, 50-yard balls into the chest of Dominic Solanke, who's made these runs. It's almost like it's planned. I mean, I'm sure it is planned. And a couple of times led to goals or really good chances. So he's got the vision for that as well.
And I think what's also not... I agree with that, definitely. I think when we were out Lloyd for a few games, we thought, no one's trying to give it a bit more direct. So he can offer that. What I'll also say is, we'll come on to him, but you know, we're all delighted with Jordan Zamora, and I'm telling you now that if you're a left back and you bomb forward like Zamora is, you're only allowed to do it if you've got a centre back, left centre back, who's happy to cover you. And Lloyd Kelly allows Zamora to go because he can cover that space. He's used to playing left back, so he's natural at it. So I think he deserves a lot of credit for that, which maybe been overlooked. It's a difficult one, really, because the expectations are quite high with Lloyd. So do I go? But you know what? He's led the team.
Yeah.
No, I think he deserves going baller.
Baller.
Yeah. So I think solid shift's a bit too unfair.
I think it is.
Being consistent enough.
Next, we've got a player that has been heralded by many a Bournemouth fan for a long, long time, yet I feel as though he's not delivered. Obviously, he's had injuries, which has not exactly helped his performances, but sometimes I just think that the player that we all think Lewis Cook is maybe not quite there anymore.
I think it's a really harsh one. Like you say, injuries have played a massive part. God, that plane's making a racket.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? What's it? It's a Boeing 737.
That's what I was going to say. Lewis Cook, the expectations when we brought him in were massive. And injuries, we've got to put this into context, injuries have absolutely crushed him. So, you know, you've got to take that into consideration. But I remember when he was at Leeds, he ripped up the Championship. He should be a player, first name on the team sheet, and he's running Championship football match, because we know he's got Premier League quality.
Yeah.
Does he run games? Not in my opinion.
I thought he did a hell of a lot better at Queen's Park Rangers, where
he
looked aggressive and very intense when he was on the ball, driving forward with it. Where sometimes I just feel as though he's a bit lackadaisical, always looking for sideways passes, but this time he's driving forward with it. And it, you know, he's actually very talented on the ball.
Oh, he's great on the ball. And like you say, that QPR game, there was times where obviously it was 1-0 and he got hold of the ball and he drove us forward and he went, I'll take responsibility. And to his defence, he's probably played. Sometimes he's in the deep role, then he's asked to do it. So he's not playing a consistent role, and injuries and stuff. And he's always had a different partner. So there's a lot of aligned circumstances. So I don't want to be too harsh. I just feel like, like you said, I remember when he came back, kind of when we got relegated that season, everyone's like, well, Lewis Cook's back will be fine.
Yeah.
I thought everyone needs to calm down a bit. And I think it's the expectation that's killing him a little bit, and the injuries and things like that. I look at him and go, he should be the first name on the team sheet. He's not.
Yeah.
I think most Bournemouth fans would start him in their best 11, but is he the first name on the team sheet? Not for me. There's certain games where I think, actually, I'd prefer Kilkenny in there, maybe. Mm-hmm. So I think for Lewis, as much as he's definitely put in a solid shift, he has put in a solid shift and he has been good, because of the expectation, because it's probably to his discredit how good he's been in the past.
Yeah, agreed.
But because of how good I believe this lad can be, I'm putting room for improvement.
And this is a compliment, isn't
it? It is in a weird way.
It is a compliment.
Because I think he's such a talented footballer that he should be... I don't know whether he's got an assist this season, but he doesn't create enough for me. He doesn't look like he's ever going to get on the end of anything and have a shot and score. I know he got one worldie last season.
He's got one assist.
One assist. Okay.
I'd love to remember which.
Off the top of my head, someone will put it in the comments. But yeah, he's got so much quality that the numbers should back it up more, in my opinion. Mm. Don't get me wrong. By the end, if he starts playing week in, week out, don't pick any of the injuries, he can end up being right at the top of baller, because we know he's got the quality. And I think it's almost because of how good we know he is why he's in room for improvement.
And he plays in a position, I mean, I know he sometimes plays a little bit more advanced. However, there are replacements for him readily. I mean, two or three. Whereas there are some people like Jefferson Lerma, you can't really replace him. You can't really replace Dom Solanke.
Yeah.
You can't really replace Ryan Christie. You know, there are several players that we can name, whereas Lewis Cook at the moment is.
I think he's someone that I always felt, if we ever got relegated, he'd be one of the best players in the league, one of our best players. Now I look at it and go, if he's out, I'd go, oh, that's a shame, we'll cope.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's better than that. So, like I say, injuries massively into consideration here. And I still believe Lewis, he's still young. He's captain of the young England teams. He's got that character about him. I think he will be top for us, but at the moment, I think he can go a little bit further.
The problem with filming a video underneath the flight path for Bournemouth International Airport means that we're getting lots of plane sounds, but as a plane geek, it's absolutely fine. I don't know what one that is. A Cessna, is it? I don't know, maybe.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Right, Leif Davis then, mate. When I first saw him, he was played completely out of position. That was Birmingham away, where he was on the right flank. I mean, that's how desperate we were, yet we still won the game. But when he played in his favoured position for the first time, that was Swansea. For the first 20, 25 minutes, I thought, my God, we're going to get run ragged. And Swansea, to their credit, were very, very good. Keeping hold of the ball, not really doing much with it, but they looked a solid outfit. And then all of a sudden, something changed, something clicked into gear, and then he started to have a great game and even provided Dom with that assist in the later on in the first half, which was a superb
second half.
He bombed forward on the left hand side and, you know, without even looking, just whipped in across, and Dom Solanke, great flying volley. But he hasn't really held down that place, because Jordan Zamora, when he came back from injury, just went straight back in. And so I feel sorry for him in a way, but has he taken his chance?
Probably not. He would like more minutes. I think it's similar to the Nyland one, where he's come in and thought, right, I should be the first choice in my position. Ooh. And it's credit to Mark Travers in the Nyland sense, and it's credit to Jordan Zamora. They've both been better than we expected, which has meant that these players that have come in have not taken that chance. Leif Davis would have thought he was going to be the starting left back at Bournemouth. Leeds would have thought that as well. Mm. I think, like you say, I remember he deserves credit for that Birmingham game, just shoving him out of the right midfield, and he'd done a shift out there. I felt the Swansea game, what was interesting, like you said, they dominated us first 20. Ethan Laird, who we've now Bournemouth dominated him. And then we made that subtle change where we moved Lerma back and kind of went to a three and said to Davis, you can go a little bit more advanced.
Yeah, that's right.
And it suited him. I think he's a wing back rather than a left back.
Oh, because we had a superb view of that, because we were like... Yes. We were just beneath Neil Blake in the chief executive seats, basically. And we had that's probably the best view I've ever had of Dean Cork, because you're high up. I mean, he's got the premium box, really, on the halfway line. But you could see that line with Jefferson Lerma coming back deep.
Yeah.
And that did free him, didn't it?
Yeah, that was a very, a really astute tactical switch from Parker. It completely changed the game. I remember Jack Stacey had a brilliant game on the right as well. It really changed the game. I think he's one of them. I think he's a wing back. And I remember the Derby game, he looked a little bad. Sometimes he was recovering with a bit of pace with legs, but he was getting caught. Yeah. It reminded me a little bit of Rico, where you think he's decent, but he's getting caught all the time.
Yeah.
He doesn't really know his position. But as I say, he's not playing week in, week out, which must be difficult. But at the end of the day, he's come in for a Premier League side, hoping to play week in, week out, and he hasn't been good enough to do that. Mm. So he's got to be room for improvement. I don't think he's been bad enough to be in come on, really.
No.
He hasn't been horrendous when he's played. But room for improvement, definitely. Whether we'll be able to see that with Jay-Z now at the African Cup of Nations, he might get an opportunity to say, it's the best chance he can get. Emmy took it against Yeovil. This could be Davis' chance to go, right, I've got... Zamora's not here.
Mm.
Go and stake claim. I don't think he's quite to Zamora's level, though.
Okay.
He's never... With every ball game I've been to, there's been a better Davis in the stadium. Put it that way.
Oh! And that's my sister. I know, that's her maiden name, isn't it? I feel so sorry for this guy. And look, if you've been living under a rock for the last couple of days and you haven't seen social media, Junior Stanislas, Chris Temple, reported on Twitter, is out for 12 weeks minimum with another issue with his hamstring. And you wonder about certain decisions that are made. And you were talking to me about that Cardiff game where we were cruising, they had 10 men, and it was like 15 minutes to go. Mm. And then what happens?
We bring on Junior Sarsas. I saw him on the bench, and obviously he played against QPR, didn't he? And he got the assist, played really well, come off with a shoulder injury.
Yeah, that's right.
So we thought, oh, hopefully he'll be all right. He was on the bench, I thought, he's there if we need him. We did not need him. The game was done, and everyone knows Junior Stanislas' injury record. Just wrap him up, just go, great, we don't have to use Junior today. I didn't get it bringing him on, and then he come off, didn't he, before he barely touched, I didn't even know he really touched the ball, and he come off again.
I feel so sorry for him.
Oh, so do I.
Because you know what, he's absolutely quality when we've got, and we saw that from that delivery for Solanke at Loftus Road. What a delivery it was, and I labelled it on Twitter as like world class. But it was, you know, it was right on his head. He didn't have to do much; just had to almost direct it in. And you get these moments from Junior that are absolutely superb. And there comes a like tipping point, I think. You know, if you've got that quality, fair enough. But then if his absences then start to outweigh the quality that you can therefore get, you're sort of thinking, and I put it in a very harsh way on Twitter, you're burning money. And that's effectively what we're doing now, week in, week out, because we're not seeing the fruits of his rehabilitation. Because when he is rehabilitated, he's then, you know, out again. And you sort of wonder, in hindsight, it is a wonderful thing, but 2-year contract?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed bizarre, and like I say, with that Cardiff one, it just felt like wrap him up, and then he can go get an hour against Yeovil, and you can take him off. And yeah, it was a strange one, but yeah, like I say, it was one of them things. And yeah, I put it on Twitter as well, mate. I said that there's a reason why no other club offered him a 2-year deal. I kind of, in a way, get why we did. Obviously, you got the situation with Brooksy. We hadn't signed Ryan Christie yet. Jay Nantley, we didn't know if he could step up. And Dan Juma had just left. So it would have been weird to let him go because we needed that kind of option. But
and I quite like the way that we were quite loyal to him.
Of course.
In, you know, probably more in hope than expectation.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you know, it's happened.
And you've got to remember last season, I think, was probably the season he made the most appearances. Mm. He was quite consistent last season. I think he made it. He featured in like 30 games. He played quite a lot last season.
And he was responsible for a number of points last season.
God, yeah.
You know, like him alone.
Yeah.
It made a difference. And I'm just frustrated maybe that had we got promoted last season, you could have sort of almost justified the 2-year contract because you'd have thought, well, we've got so much money now, it doesn't really matter that he's out this season. But this season, as you can see on screen, he's been involved in 5% of our goals. And that feels like only from a couple of... I mean, he's been involved in 7 matches. It doesn't feel like that many. He's only started one or two, surely.
Yeah, and like we mentioned previously about, you know, we're talking about Lewis Cook and kind of the expectation and stuff, and we just went, oh, he's got an assist, got one assist. Well, I know he plays in a different role, but Junior's got 2. It doesn't feel like he's barely played. And I think we know the quality, and I always say it, he backs up the numbers as well. That's what I like about June. Is he doesn't just play well, you fancy him to get an assist or a goal in every game he starts.
Yeah.
Really feel for him. You know, will it be one of them? If we were to go up, would we cut our losses potentially? Mm. It could be, because we'd have the money to be able to do that. But yeah, feel for him, and whatever happens, Junior. Some of them goals in the Premier League, mate. He's been a great player,
yeah,
not absolutely to the level of a Steve Cook and things like that. But no. he's still up there. I really love June, but this season really difficult. I think we just shove him in room for improvement because I don't know, it's difficult, isn't it?
Or is he hard to judge?
Is he hard to judge? Yeah. Difficult though, because is he hard to judge when we've put other, I mean, he's played, but he's had more minutes than Rodgers and Nyland. I'll go room for improvement.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think? Is Tom being harsh?
Well, I might be. But
do you think that could be an hard to judge? I mean, you know, certainly not come on really, because he's delivered in certain ways. Could you say maybe?
I think the only
one of two categories for me, and that's
What I'm going with June, like we said, there was different, because we went different circumstances for Lewis because of what I believe he can be. With Junior, I think we know what he is.
Yeah.
It's all about, it's harsh, but it's all about, can he keep fit? Yeah. He hasn't, so that's why it's like,
right.
It's difficult, but yeah, I'll whack him in there, mate.
All right. Oh, Zamora.
Love it.
Mate,
love
we're going to miss
team
this
Zimbabwe.
Guy. He's not going to be available, obviously, for hopefully he'll be back ASAP, but what a guy, we love him.
Such a good character off the pitch as well.
I swear he watches as well. Because once I walked past him and he gave me a little nod.
Who doesn't do that? Really, right?
And you know, his family are friends of the show now.
Legends.
They've been on with the free for all with myself, and look, he's a player that we didn't want to be relying on, and we were looking at, oh no, Jordan Zamora, Jaden Anthony, Travers. Kilkenny, but now we want to rely on them.
It's mad.
Championship?
I never would have thought we're going to get to January and we're going to be like, oh my God, we're losing Murrah. I mean, fair play to him. We talk about taking a chance. And I always go back to that start, first game of the season, West Brom, at half time. I remember thinking, he ain't good enough. He's too lightweight. He ain't got it in him. So the character he's shown to bounce back from a difficult opener is massive. That I think, to his credit, Jayden Anthony's got off the ball since Murrah's been out.
Yeah,
says a lot. He's just been a breath of fresh air. I mean, you can see it now, even with like Zimbabwe. They go, oh yeah, we've got some Murrah coming back. Mm. You know, he's a player that. His recoveries are so good because of his pace. And like you say, he seems like a good character in the dressing room as well. I love him, mate. He's bought a side of it like a lot of the youngsters have, where it makes me like the team.
Mm.
You know, I think some of these players, it shows how much it means to him. And he scored some goals, mate. Barnsley, Bristol City, he scored some goals. And you know, from left back. And it does make me think, maybe it was the perfect time to bring him in, but another side of me thinks we struggled at left back last season. Would he have been maybe he wasn't ready, but in hindsight it makes you think we could have given him more of a go last year.
What, like rather than Rico,
Kelly out there, Rico out there, we had Smith out there, you know, and stuff like that. So I love him. The only reason, maybe a little bit controversial, I think everyone's expecting me to go absolute Don. He had a long time out. He had a long time out. So I'm only going to put him in baller because I think it wouldn't be fair to put him with Trout, who virtually played every minute. So I'm just going to put him in baller, but I'll tell you what, mate, if he comes back from the African Cup and takes on to promotion, he'll be right up there.
Right. You know what Benjamin Bloom says on his show? He says, leave your bias at the door. We're doing Jefferson Lerma, mate.
Oh, God.
Right. Can you somehow keep a level head during the next 3 minutes?
I mean, I'll do my best, but if I get my wallet out, it says it's got very happy on it. So that says a lot about my. I saw he was at the under 18 game last night.
What a man!
Of course he was.
As well, yeah,
done well. But oh, man, I love him, and it's that thing that we say over and over again. You don't notice how good he is till he's not there. Sadly, he wasn't there because he made a silly error, and that was the most disappointing. The only disappointing thing I can really think of is that Coventry game, 2-0 up, cruising.
Mm.
I felt for him because it was a bad pass and stuff like that, but I think
where he's being played at the back,
he's playing in the back three, and I but his experience, he shouldn't have gone for that tackle, and that's probably that. And then we ended up losing him, but we've bounced back since he's come back. I think he played 2 games last month, got player of the month.
Yeah,
I mean, he's just sensational. I thought the QPR game is ridiculous. he's the Kante of the Championship, in my opinion. I wouldn't swap him for another central midfielder in the Championship, no chance.
He's built this one up so much. I have, yeah,
but I can't put him an absolute Don. I can't. Why? I've got to.
What? Because it's you, or
no? Because he's been sent off. He'd been sent off, which ended up, you know, that very game costing us, and also meant that we had missed him for a while. And he also, people forget, he missed the first 6 games. So I don't think it's fair to put him an absolute. He missed the first 6 games. He shouldn't have. It was a bit outrageous, but. And just because of that.
What was that for? Was that the bite?
It was the bite, wasn't it?
That they decided to do it really late, even though they had all season to decide. Yeah.
And then he got an extra suspension when he got sent off because he apparently said cheat or something to the ref.
Effing ball or something,
And even though I feel like he's got this label on him, which is harsh, he still hasn't played enough games to be right at the top. But, I mean, he's still the best player I've ever seen. He's going in baller, but... love you, Jeff. I know you're watching, mate.
Of course you're watching. He's probably picking up his takeaway from Barolo's right now as we speak. Right.
Don't tell Morgan, he'll be there.
Yeah, he will. Jamal Lowe, always believe in your soul. 22 appearances, some starting, most of them off the bench. He scored a couple of goals. He's been involved in 8% of our goals this season. He's a player, though, that people are saying if Dom Solanke's injured, maybe he could do a job. Oh, I'm not sure.
I think that's probably the level of Dom, to be fair. I think he probably could do for a number of clubs, and he has for Swansea in the Championship. But Dom's been so good that I don't think he'd ever be to that level.
Nah.
I think he's been all right off the sides. I think he's been one of them, that he's been better when he's come off the bench.
Yeah, he has.
And then when he started, and I thought he deserves a start. And then he starts.
He scored at Bristol City.
He started Bristol City, though, off the right.
Yeah.
And then he come on against Reading and scored straight away.
Oh, yeah, off that left ear, which you didn't see, did you?
No. But yeah, he's good at coming off the sides, and he's a clever player, and he's got a bit of a champ experience, and I think he's a very astute sign, and he was cheap, and I think it was a really clever signing. But he wouldn't be in most people starting 11s, would he? And I think he probably would have been wanting to get more starts than he had. I like him, but I wouldn't want to rely on him as a main striker.
No.
But if he was playing off one of the sides of Dom in a game, wouldn't bother me at all. I think he's, him and Anthony, I'm kind of a bit like that. I think it's almost like, if Zamora's not there, I don't think it really matters which one plays. I do like him. I like what he's about. I love his song. But from him personally, similar to the Leif Davis thing, he would have wanted to come in and play more minutes. So I'm going to put room for improvement.
I was actually watching, I'm a bit of a late starter to this one, but I was watching Sunderland Till I Die on Netflix only recently. And they just, I just got to the LDV, whatever, no, Checker Trade Final. With
Jamal Pompey,
yeah, exactly, and he scored the he scored in that game. He scored a lob. Was it I had to say one went. Was it 2-1 to Portsmouth? It didn't go to penalty.
No, I don't think it did. I think Portsmouth won relatively comfortably, and like you say, he scored in it.
I can't remember,
and he was good there.
Oh no, Portsmouth went made it 2-1. Jamal Lowe scored a lob. Then they made it 2-2 Sunderland.
Oh okay.
In the last minute, they bundled one, but then in extra time, in pens, I think he took a penalty, scored it. But no, I was watching him there, and then after that, where did he go? I mean, did he go to Swansea straight after that?
Or I think he did. Yeah. But like you say, yeah, he's you look at him where he's been, he's always done a good job.
He was a goal machine for Swansea, wasn't he? He was like really well, and they were very sad to lose him. But at the moment, I'm not quite seeing that for Bournemouth.
There's flashes, and there's flashes. And what I will say is, we talked about Morgan Rogers kind of coming on and really disappointing. When Jamal Lowe's come on, I don't think he's ever let us down. It's just been when he started, I don't think he's grabbed his opportunity. That's the only thing why it's room for improvement. But I do like him, and some of his finishes have been really nice. And he has offered a few goals off the bench as well. So I like him, but he's not quite pushing Dom enough.
That very popular song from Berlin is not Take My Breath Away. It's Jadon Antony. And look, we'll talk about him now. I mean, he's done well.
Yeah.
He's done all right.
Yeah.
And I still don't think he's the complete player, you know. But I mean, I suppose I'm comparing him with someone like Dan Juma or whatever. Yeah, I mean, which you are, because basically, you know, that was a player in that position last season. But he's done really well. He's scored 6 goals, 4 assists. He's been involved in a quarter of our goals for AFC Bournemouth this season, one way or another. Yeah. I'd like to see him sort of maybe get forward and score more goals and maybe take on players. But what a player that we have acquired from the youth that I thought wouldn't maybe be anywhere. I thought he might be an option off the bench, but
at best.
Now he's possibly one of the first names on the team sheet.
I think there was a point in the season where the only games he didn't play, we didn't win. I remember at Peterborough, we started Rogers, didn't play him or whatever, and we didn't look the same. And I think he almost gets, we're giving him this expectation, you know, and maybe it's because the other young's done so well, but we're kind of going, oh, I want him to score more goals, I want him to do that. But hang on a minute, we didn't even think he'd be near the squad, you know, and that's to his credit because you see the ability. I think he's what we should expect, and that is a player that has got a lot of ability, but he's still raw.
Yeah.
He's still a young, upcoming player that should come in at the team. He's going to have some games where he beats a man, puts a top corner, and then other games like at Middlesbrough where all his decision-making's all over the place.
Sometimes I think, previously, after, you know, start of the season, I thought he was too nice with his shooting, maybe like side-footing it in towards the keeper. Yeah, a bit too soft. And but since then, he's been a little bit more ruthless, and he has scored some brilliant goals for us, I've got to say. And he's got that sort of trio with Phil Bill and Jordan Zamora that when you see him combining together and doing the underlaps and overlaps, it's a joy to watch. It's really nice to see. And that's the closest I've ever come to comparing Charlie Daniels, Mark Pugh. I mean, obviously they're not at those levels, but we've always, you know, in the future maybe, but you know, that's the closest we've come to actually, you know, trying to replicate that, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think, you know, combinations of that are key, as you mentioned, like Daniels and Pugh in the Championship. No one thought they were the best two on ability, but they certainly proved they could be with that partnership. And I think since Amura's been out, Jane Anthony hasn't been as good, and that says a lot. And I think he needs to, I think what's probably been difficult is he's played wing back when Zamora went there. He's also had Leif Davis behind him, then he's had Brady behind him, and it's probably a bit alien to him when Zamora ain't there. I think why Scott Parker relies on him is because his off the ball stuff goes overlooked. I think he works his nuts off. And I really, really like him. I think probably inconsistency, which I'd expect from a young player like he is.
I think the Middlesbrough game showed that.
Yeah, that inconsistency and still that rawness means that he's still got further to go, but he's got to be solid shift, mate.
Yeah.
He's got to be, because no way room for improvement in the sense that I didn't expect this, but he's not quite hit the consistency of the others in baller, so I'm going to go solid shift.
Yeah, I think if he was going to be between two categories, it would be between baller and solid shift. He's certainly not the other. And you know, that Middlesbrough incident where we took him down for a penalty, I thought it showed a bit of naivety, but it did show his work rate as well.
Yeah.
Like, albeit in the wrong way. So, yeah.
Naivety that we probably should expect from a young player that's come through.
Yeah, exactly.
I just, if he can add a few more numbers, goals and assists in the remainder of the season, then he'll be right up there, won't he? It's backing up with numbers. Like we said, he can learn from people like June, talking to him, not training, unfortunately.
Yeah. Jack Stacey. This is a difficult one. He's had an assist this season, a couple of yellows, as you can see on screen, and he's been involved in 17 matches for AFC Bournemouth. And I don't want to put him into the Lewis Cook category, but sometimes I just think have we got a player who's... We've seen a few really good performances, and then we expect that to be his level every time, and maybe he's not actually at that level.
Yeah, I think I said to you the other week, didn't I?
Is that harsh?
I don't know. I think we know he's got the ability, and he's got an engine. I'll tell you what,
he really is.
I remember that Swansea game, he was unbelievable. But I don't know, sometimes I think, I remember seeing a football thing on Twitter about kind of unpopular opinions. My unpopular Bournemouth opinion is that he's overrated. And that's not that I don't think he's a good player. I like Jackson. I'm never bothered if he's right back. I know he put a shift in, but I reckon most fans seem to think he's our best right back, which for me, he's nowhere near as good as Adam Smith, in my opinion. And I think, I remember when Woody come in, first thing he did was Smith's fit, he plays. And he brought Stacey on kind of at the end of the game. As soon as Park come in, Smith's fit, he plays. Because I think they know that Smith's got a bit more experience, gives us a bit more balance. And I think Stacey sometimes, remember the Derby game?
Yeah.
We talk about that back pass to Jefferson Lerma. I don't think he's as good on the ball as people think. And I think sometimes he gets caught out. Don't get me wrong, I like his engine. And I still think he's one of the best right-backs in the league. Mm. I genuinely do. I just don't think he's as good as people are making out. I don't think he's as good as Adam Smith. And we've brought in Ethan Laird for a reason. And I think Ethan Laird... It'll be interesting now, Stacey, get out their performances. Because,
next few weeks will be really interesting. And look, I mean, I know we sort of criticised Jefferson Lerma for that miscontrol that got him sent off, but part of the reason for that was because of the dire back pass from Jack Stacey.
Yeah, of course. And I don't know if you've got any assists kind of stats. I'm trying to think.
One assist.
Everyone talks about his player that I agree has got an engine and bombs on. Should be delivering more, in my opinion. I mean... You think of the numbers that... He hasn't scored this season either. You think of the numbers that Samura's doing on that left side. A young player come through. Jack Stacey has got one assist, and I feel like he's got the ability to do that. I like Jack Stacey. I just don't think he's as good as we maybe make out sometimes. So I'm going to put him in room for improvement because I think he can do a bit more.
Huge chopper, mate.
Oh, is it? Thank you very much.
Right, OK. Another one that we didn't want to rely on, but we are. And... Mate, I love him. Gav Kilkenny.
Absolutely love him.
You know, the only criticism I've got is no assists, no goals, and I would like to see more in that department from him. But when he plays, I love him.
Yeah.
He's so creative. There's, you know, some really nice moments in that West Brom game. There was one that was memed up where he was, like, he knocked it over someone's head and then he turned, like, 180 degrees and then he put through someone's legs and came away with the ball, distributed it to the wing, and he just looked really classy and... You know, that wasn't just a one-off performance. He then went on and put in such a good shift. And he's a player that arguably, on form at the moment, is as good as or if not better than Lewis Cook. I've been really impressed by Gavin Kilkenny, really impressed.
Yeah, I really like him. I like them sort of players as well. I always used to like Nuno Kane, if you remember, because I just like the fact that, don't get me wrong, they're going to give the ball away, but they're so brave to get on the ball from the centre-halves and be brave enough to then try and beat a man and use the ball and never just clear it. You know, I remember the Borough game where Travers was the only good player, but he was the one that could... He was the only player outfield that could have his head held high, and... He's quite easy to drop because of his age, and we've got a lot of options in that area.
Yeah.
I think, as you mentioned about Lewis Cook, he couldn't do the more advanced role that Lewis can do,
more
box to box.
I agree.
But if you're talking about sitting in front of the back four, I think Gav's better.
Mm.
I mean, I think that's Lerma's position personally, but I think I'm never bothered if Gavin's starting. Mm. I really like him. It feels like he's been knocking on the door for about 5 years.
Yeah, agreed.
I remember him playing in a friendly when we go into the Premier League off the right wing and he was good. You know, because he's such a clever footballer.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think it was against a French team, might be Marseille or something, I can't remember, but he looks like he could play off the right because he's so clever. Really like him. Unfortunately for him, he probably because he hasn't played week in, week out, he can't quite go into baller with some of the others. But he's got to be in solid shift, mate. Because, but I really like him. I think the future's bright for him, and the potential, I mean, is so high. It's so high. Really like him. Seems like a good character as well. And yeah, love seeing him play.
He drinks the Jaeger. He drinks the vodka.
His head's in massive.
Gary Cahill. I mean, a lot of people were very sceptical when we signed him, has been, and all that kind of stuff. All these kind of lazy cliches were being brought out, and you know, maybe you could see why he's probably on a fairly hefty wage. Why are we getting Cahill when we got Steve Cook? However, as soon as he played, he hit the ground running. As soon as he played.
Yeah, he did. And I was probably one that was kind of like, right, I'm going to wait and see, because I always remember the Distan thing. And you think,
that's what I was worried about.
Is he coming to just pick up a pay packet?
Yeah.
But I tell you what he's shown is, no, he's come in because he wants to keep fighting. He wants to keep playing week in, week out. And he wants to be part of something and trying to take Bournemouth. He's achieved so much. Mm. The Champions League and the Premier League and the FA Cup. And
well, yeah, I was looking
World
at
World Cups. And
when I was getting these stats up, so the stats that you can see there, these are from Transfer Market. When you go onto each individual player profile, at the top next to their name, it's got pictures of all the trophies that he's won. And like, it nearly went off the screen. He's got so many.
Mad. Yeah, and there was times where he was England's best centre-half. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And I think he's come in, and what I've been most impressed with is he looks like he really does care and he really wants it. Yeah. And I think the best description is in the Championship is a Rolls Royce. Yeah, he's a Rolls Royce at the back. I kind of thought his pace might get exposed, but it doesn't, because he reads the game so well that he rarely gets in a one-on-one duel in a race. I love him, and we keep him fit. We keep monitoring. You know, you saw against Yeovil, didn't even bother taking him. Like, monitor his fitness and stuff like that. And we got a player that will take us up, in my opinion. He's massive for us. He's got to be a baller.
Baller, yeah, agree with that. Agree with that. Right, we've just come off. Our last match was an FA Cup match, and of course, every single game, we're always there. And at Yeovil, Emiliano Marcondes, mate, a player that you, at the train station before we left, we didn't do some clever like editing, but Tom said, "I think this is Emmy's day. He's going to shine today." Blah blah blah. Like, only went and scored a hat-trick.
I know, I mean, I didn't expect that. I just kind of felt that we look at him and go, good player, but maybe a little bit luxury in the Championship. So I thought, well, I'm not being funny. Play a National League opposition, this is your chance, mate, because you're going to get on the ball, and this is for you. You've got to make stuff happen. And boy, did he. Yeah. And he's likeable. He is very likeable. But I've got to give him credit. He started the season, he wasn't brilliant, but he was good. He was good enough. And then he just literally didn't kick a ball for months on end. And then when he's come in, he's always cared, he's always tried to do stuff, and he doesn't seem like he's moped around.
No.
What I do notice is, going to all the away games, is there's been games where he hasn't even come off the bench. He's one of the last ones clapping the fans. He seems to have a good, we have a good rapport with him already, early doors. And but on the pitch, I don't think he's let us down. There's been games where he's maybe not stood out enough, but he... And I think his problem is he as good a footballer as Philip Billing? Probably not.
He's the one, isn't it? He's the one. Like, when you're looking at Philip Billing and replacements, if he's out, that's the player that we're looking at.
And I was thinking the other day, actually, is there a way in certain games where we could play Lerma Sat and then Billing and Marcondes?
Oh, yeah. Like,
just because I feel like that could be a free that, you know, maybe in some games, it'd be nice to kind of see that.
But do you remember there was a game or two where Phil Bill was out and Marcondes wasn't involved? Mm.
Yeah, we moved Christie in.
Yeah.
And that surprised me.
That, you know, there must have been a reason for that. Either he wasn't so good in training for those 2 weeks or whatever, but that surprised me. But I think, you know, he's working hard in training, obviously, and now he's been being rewarded for his efforts, and fair play to him.
Mate, you go, like we were saying about Rodgers, about Lowe and Davis, stuff like that. Right, you've got National League opposition in the cup, on the telly, this is your chance to try and knock on the door. Mm. I mean, what more could he do? He scored a hat-trick, and he's showing Billing and the squad that, you know, he's there if we need him. And I think if we were to achieve our goals this season, however many more minutes he plays, he's been part of that. He's been pushing the others, he's been good in the dressing room, and he's always showed a bit of quality when he's played. So I think because of the hat-trick as well, I think I'm going to put him in solid shift. I nearly put him in room for approval. I thought, I don't actually think it's his fault. He's not as good as Billing, so he hasn't played. But when he's played, I think he's been all right. I like him.
Right, we've got a player now that has been involved in 49% of goals this season for AFC Bournemouth, and in the league scoring 18. Oh, was it not 19 or is it 18? Has he scored one in a cup as well or something?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. He hasn't played in the cups, has he? I thought it was 19 as well. Maybe I'm updated.
And anyway, a hell of a lot of goals. And two assists as well, 25 appearances. I'm not too sure with this one. I might put him in hard to judge. No. Dom Solanke, what are we seeing now that we haven't seen before? Because he's the complete player. I wouldn't have Callum Wilson over him at the moment.
That's mad, isn't it? I mean, what are we seeing? I still felt he had a good season last season. Just probably needed to back up more numbers. I think what we're seeing is Scott Parker's hung his hat on him and he's had the responsibility and he's shown in his character that he's happy to take it on. Yeah. He hasn't really got any competition for that role, but he's told he's the main man and he's relished it, which I wasn't sure if he was able to do. I mean, literally, the only criticism is that he's so good that he ends up dropping in the midfield to try and get on the ball and try and beat three men because... And you almost go, I'll just stay up there a bit, Dom. But he's just ridiculous.
His finishing could be better, maybe, could you argue?
Maybe, but I think if I'm working, running around as much as Dom Solanke is, you're going to be... I mean, there's some games where I think he just doesn't stop the ball. I think it was it a QPR? Where we obviously 1-0 up and we chucked Jamal Owen, but we said to Dom, you go out wide because you're putting a shit. He's been on the pitch all game. The guy works his nuts off. He can make runs in behind. He can come deep, hold up the ball. He's good on the ball. He's shown he's all right in the air. He's adding goals to his game. He's almost a complete striker now. He's going to get, I mean, touch wood, he's got to get 20 goals, which everyone said that he's never a 20 goal a season striker. He's proven that, and what will be the big thing for him is hopefully we go up.
Can he do it in the Prem?
Of course, but I mean, this season, mate, even if we stop now and never play another game, he's in the absolute don. He's been unbelievable, and I mean, it's just keeping fit, which he's done so far.
He cannot get injured.
He can't get injured. If you want to ever put anything, he's the one player. If he gets injured, we don't get promoted. If he's out now for the rest of the season, we don't go up. Yeah. If he's fit for every game the rest of the season, I think we go up. That's how key he is. Yeah. He's probably most people's player of the season so far.
Top man. Deserve that, Dom. Absolutely, you deserve that. Next then, player that unfortunately is out due to horrendous reasons, David Brooks, of course. Played, well, 7 appearances, he scored. That was at Nottingham Forest, was it, I think? He scored and then got sent off. But his performances weren't particularly great. But then, you know, it turned out that it was the most devastating of reasons, perhaps why. David Brooks, this is a hard one, mate. This is a real difficult one.
Yeah, it's a horrible one, isn't it? I think... we take all the horrible stuff to the side a minute. When he played and we didn't obviously weren't aware, I thought he showed quality at times, like you say, scored a nice goal. Then unfortunately got a silly red card. I remember it was
he tugged someone back or something.
Yeah,
for a second yellow.
And I thought he should be ripping this league up, but now we know it's probably down to a lot of other things. He was coming off in games and I thought he just doesn't quite look sharp enough.
No.
And it explains why now. And it sounds like we had a little update, didn't we, recently this week, wasn't it?
Banned, yeah, positive news as well.
Really good.
And it's all going to plan, so
really good.
That's a really good thing. David, if you're watching, obviously we wish you all the best, buddy. In terms of giving him a rating, I don't think you can really do anything.
I don't think it's fair, mate. I'm going to put him in hard to judge because I don't think it's fair because we know, even in them 7 games, we don't know what underlying circumstances were going on at the time. But yeah, like you say, wish him all the best, mate, and just look for, I mean, what footballer he is. Footballer on his day.
And we know your quality, David, and you know, to your credit, nearly every person that we interviewed in our interview series over lockdown said that you were the one that stands out the most.
Yeah, I remember talking to Frano and saying in training he's a different level.
Yeah,
I remember him saying that, and we had a few more like that, which shows his commitment to training and stuff like that as well. And I love that every week, don't even think about it now, 7 minutes, you show the love that you've got from the fans. So yeah, he'll be back, mate, he'll be back.
3 to go, Meps.
Meps is always a difficult one, Meps, isn't he?
He is. I feel as though sometimes like he deserves to be playing a lot more than what he does, and you just kind of know that if he gets regular game time, you know what kind of defender and what kind of player he can be. And it's felt really disjointed the last sort of few years of his career whilst he's been at AFC Bournemouth, because he's not played as much as he could or should. He's always in for Wales every single time, but for Bournemouth, not as much. I mean, fair play to him in terms of his loyalty, because he could be getting itchy feet. I mean, I certainly would be if I was playing that much.
And it can't be easy coming in at the team at the back. And like you say, I think I think the Brentford game, the playoff game, stuff like that goes against him. And I think because he's quite brave and tries to play out from the back a lot, sometimes he gets caught. I feel like when he gives the ball away, it always seems to end up in a goal. Whereas when Kelly gives the ball away, we seem to deal with it. I feel really sorry for him. But what I really liked against Yeovil was that we gave him the armband and said to him, we trust you. And I thought he was excellent, by the way. People forget he played right back. He's played left back. I mean, the guy puts in a puts in a shift all the time. I think he gets overlooked. I think the problem is ever since he's been here, he's always been the third best centre-half.
Yeah.
And you play two most of the time, and he can't quite... Because I think he'd get in 90% of the championship centre-halves, but he's not good enough to get in ours.
What frustrates me is that when he plays and Bournemouth maybe have a bad game, whatever, for some reason, even though there are worse players, he's always the scapegoat, isn't he?
He does seem to get that, which I
hate that.
Which I really feel for, because he's the opposite of that, in the sense that when we were down to the bare bones, he went, I'll go right back and put a shift in. Mm. He never let us down, and... I quite like him, and I do still think he's... But I tell you, you ain't going to get... You try and go in the championship and go, right, I want a good centre-half that's happy to sit on the bench and come in. You ain't getting a better one. No, you are not getting a better one. And I'm... Don't get me wrong, you never want KOL, you never want Kelly out, but if Mep's got to play, I know he'll put a shift in. I'm going to put him in solid shift.
Solid shift.
Because when he's played, I don't think he's let us down this season.
Nah, he hasn't. That's Chris Meppham there. Right, next we've got Ben Pearson. He's had an assist this season, 15 appearances...
That was a good assist, by the way. That was a Birmingham. That little ball over the top for Dom Solanke.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah,
very
it
good
was.
Ball.
Great shout. God, good memory. Good memory. And I don't know about Ben.
A few injuries, a few knocks all the time.
Questionable social media posts on Instagram with Preston fans. Or something. I don't really know what that was all about. Probably a bit of horseplay, but...
Yeah, something to nothing. But he's... He seems to have got... I mean, at the start of the season, obviously, we didn't have Lerma, and we thought it was Pearson's chance, but he was out. And we he always seems to get knocks, and we don't really hear about it. And then there was one game where he wanted the squad, and then it was like he was fit.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's weird. But I... Every time he plays, I always feel he's quite good.
Yeah.
I think his problem is, I don't think it works with him and Lerma, and Lerma's great.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. But... I do like Ben Pearson. I think Ben Pearson's solid. I remember when he came on against QPR, for 3 minutes. Best cameo I've ever seen. Best cameo.
And he's stuck in.
He's a player that fans are always going to like because he gives you that. And I actually think it's underrated how good he is on the ball. Yeah. I know it was at a Yeovil, but I thought a 2-1 playing National League opposition, they're going to put it up. Yeah, he was one of the ones that took the ball and went, I'll control this game.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And showed his quality. I'm never bothered if Ben Pearson's starting, but I can understand that because of the role of Lerma, he's probably a backup at the moment. Mm. But there's no better player than you're winning by one goal with 10 minutes to go to bring on than Ben Pearson. Experienced, reliable head. But what I will say is, for him, he will be thinking, I should be starting week in, week out in the Championship, and he's not. So I'm going room for improvement on that basis. But when he's played, he's solid shift. It's a difficult one.
Yeah.
But because I've done Lewis Cook with the expectation,
that's
what I'm going to do for Ben.
Yeah, Lewis Cook, Leif Davis. I'm happy that. Right then. And then to finish off, reverse alphabet quarter, Adam Smith at the moment, who's been a solid player for us over the years. But obviously, we're just talking about this season so far, where he's had 7 appearances, 1 assist. Okay. Wouldn't be able to tell you which one that was.
Can't remember.
Let us know in the comments if you know. 4 yellow cards.
Loves the yellow, doesn't he?
Loves the yellow. This is a hard one.
It is. He was similar to Junior, wasn't he, where they both had a contract, they both got 2-year deals. But I understood Smithy's one. Yeah. He's never had like long term injuries, had a few knocks over the year. But this one's really horrible.
Okay, so Jack Stacey or Adam Smith, if you had the opportunity to choose.
If they're both 100% fit, I don't even have to think about it as Adam Smith.
Interesting.
I actually think if you went to a back three, I'd prefer Stacey for his energy. But if you're playing the four at the back and they're both 100% fit, I think Smith. I think we look more balanced. I think he's clever. He wins clever fouls. He's a bit niggly. But I think people... I don't know whether it's his stature. He's not a big guy. Forget how experienced the guy is. He's been good in the Premier League. I remember he was knocking on the door for England once. Like he's a good footballer. And I think
he's nearly testimonial territory himself.
Yeah. Him and now Cookie's gone. He's the longest, isn't he, him and June. But I like Smithy. And he's putting shifts at left back when we needed him as well. I think he's been a real kind of... consistent performer for Bournemouth for a number of years. This season, it just seems like he's never had a consistent run, mainly due to injuries. Where did I put? I put Stacey in room for improvement. Smithies is just on injury, isn't it? I might get a stick for that. It looks nice as well in the
solid
tier,
shift.
But I'm going to put him in solid shift because I think when he's played, he's been solid. But the injuries, real shame for him.
There's our tier list, ladies and gents. What are you thinking? Are you happy with that? You know what?
It looks really...
It does. It's symmetrical. It's nice.
If you're as anal as you must love it.
I'm relatively happy. Let us know what you think in the comments. We would love to know. But that's how we've sort of gauged players on 2021 this season. It's a huge 2022 for all these lots. So we're hoping that the guys that we've got in room for improvement are going to improve. Whether the ones in Come On Really will even be involved, Morgan Rogers...
and
not yeah, even
more,
sure.
And we've obviously got a few new ones in Laird and Hill, and maybe some more coming up to come in. I'd like to know as well in the comments, if you could make one change, only one change, what change would it be?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know, and just see if there's any, because I look at everything, I don't think there's too much, there's always different opinions, stuff like that. I think we got to do a little mention for Stevie Cook.
Yeah.
Because Steve Cook, one fair judge, he's just left. I mean, I'll tell you what performance he had against Arsenal as well. Yeah, he was superb, grabs winner as well. I did enjoy that. But I'll tell you what, when he's played, he's right at the top, isn't he? Because that Fulham game, he was sensational. Oh, and love Cookie, and watched his interview the other day, a little bit emotional.
Yeah, he saw his bottom lip.
Yeah,
like,
going a bit. Can't wait for that testimonial.
Yeah.
I reckon, could we sort it out with Eddie, just so Eddie can come down, play Newcastle?
I would love that.
I mean, he's welcome to Lee Fraser at home.
Yeah, Lee Fraser.
Bring Richie down, bring Callum down. You've got Eddie there, you've got Jason there. That'd be quite nice, perchy. But yeah, Cookie deserves mention. I can't think of it. I think Sadie's had enough to really put him in, but Sadie's a player for the future, I think. But yeah, apart from that, I think that's a fair tier list, mate. Let's see what the comments say.
Yeah, we put in the players that have only had a significant amounts of minutes. So that's included Orien Nyland, who's had a whole match. But yeah, I don't think we've left anyone out. If we have, I'd feel distressed and disappointed. However, yeah, let us know what you think.
Up the cherries.
Lovely.
This is Tommy Alphick, and you're listening to Back of the Net.
Yeah, great stuff. Really enjoyed that. And the pair at Parley, can't recommend it enough for a nice beer in beautiful surroundings as well. So we had a number of categories. The absolute Don, baller, solid shift, room for improvement. Come on, really? And also hard to judge. Where will they be at the end of the season? Who knows? Anyway, thanks for listening to this episode of the pod. Next week's one, we're actually going to be talking about a game. That'd be nice, won't it? This has been Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast.
Richie. Maybe on Walker. Pugh. That'll do it! That will do it! Pugh for Bournemouth! The roof of the Gold Sands is raised! What that could mean to this football club.